I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're still socially distanced and probably will be for the next 6 months.
I was hoping it would get over, but
yeah.
With especially the rising cases in Utah County.
It's not looking good.
No.
Well, we wanted to talk this morning about autumn crocus, and something funny about that, Ton, I always thought that crocus were spring bloomers, but there are some autumn bloomers.
There are. The main one that we call autumn crocus blooms in October, late September and October, and it you can get it with your spring bulbs. It's a little harder to find, but a lot of garden centers will carry it. But the advantage to it is even if you find it with flowers on it, like in the box at the garden center, you can still plant it, and it will have enough energy reserves to make leaves and survive just fine in your yard.
I've got to find some of those. I don't have any autumn crocus. I was starting to think I had almost everything in my yard, but I do not have any autumn crocus.
They're a nice surprise, and you get that bulb look later in the season instead of in the spring. There's actually the autumn crocus that's common is actually in the lily family, but it looks like one. But there's some true crocus that also will bloom in the fall that you can find, the saffron crocus, and then there's one or two others that are, you know, a little harder, but they will bloom in the fall. And then what will happen is they'll make their leaves, and then those leaves will hold until spring and die back. And then you're surprised with the flowers in September.
So tell me, you worked at J&J for years. Is this something that nurseries commonly carry?
It is. You can find them. It's not like you can just bop into Walmart or wherever you buy your bulbs and they'll be sitting there, but they are around. You can also order them from places like Spring Hill, or I imagine Burpees or Gurney's would probably have them. So they're more of a specialty thing, but you can find them.
Okay, but we know that gardeners like the specialty things.
Yes.
I do, especially.
Yes.
So. Yeah, but I always try to go local first. So that's why I asked that question. I don't ever recall seeing an autumn crocus. It could be by the time we get to autumn, I've kind of not been visiting the gardening centers as much as I should.
Well, look around or make some phone calls, and I think that you'll find them locally. And even mail order right now is probably too late, and you would need to order them into next year. I checked a few, and they were out. But I imagine that with a few phone calls that you could find them around.
This does raise the question for me, Ton, in a drought, how are our bulbs surviving? I mean, do the bulbs do pretty well when you have really dry conditions?
Yes, it's actually their survival strategy to come out in the spring when there's available moisture, flower, and then when we get hot, the leaves will die back and then they go dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if the soil is dry, they're generally just fine and they'll come out in the spring. So it's something we actually don't need to worry about as much as other plants.
Unless we're planting them in planter boxes. I have learned that the hard way.
Yes. And so those will
To have water.
They can't get bone dry, but generally in native soil, they're okay.
Okay. The greenery that you were talking about, does that actually last? Like, you know, pansies, you plant them and they'll actually show blooms in the middle of winter if there's no snow. Does that greenery stay pretty during the winter as well?
It stays green. It'll come up a little bit, you know, a few inches, and then it sits. And so it will stay green the entire winter. And then in the spring, it'll elongate out and it lays over a little bit. And I read the one author compared the leaves to flat belt straight, like straps or something. And they just kind of lay on the ground. And so they need just a little bit of room. But when they die back, you just cut them back with the other bulbs in late May to mid-June. And then they will flower out the next year.
So it sounds like the leaves are whiter than the crocus that we see in the spring.
It's not that they're wider. It's just that they lay down a little bit more. They're not super upright.
Okay. Well, we have texters who have texted some of their questions since like 6 o'clock this morning. So I want to go to
folks, get some sleep.
Hey, they're excited and they know that there are so many questions that they want to make sure that their question gets in. So we're going to take a few of these before we go to the break. One person is asking, this is Grace, and she wants to know when she should trim her iris leaves.
When they die back. Just leave them alone because they're collecting energy. They're making their underground parts stronger, you know, so that they have better flowers next year. Don't get in a rush.
Yeah. So as long as they're green, let them go. Just keep them as greenery. And then the minute they start getting ugly and kind of yellow and brown, you can cut them back.
That's when.
Okay. She also asks, she laid new sod about a month ago, and she's wondering if she should use IFA's fall lawn fertilizer on it this year.
It would be fine. You can use a starter fertilizer. People get really hung up on, oh my gosh, it's fall fertilizer and I have to use it in September, October. Your lawn doesn't know. You know, and if you look at the numbers on them, the analysis, they're not going to vary that much from the spring fertilizer and the summer fertilizer. So go ahead, and if you have fertilizer, use it. But if you have the fall fertilizer, that would be fine.
And that would be beneficial for new sod?
Yeah, it would be fine, yes.
Okay. Next person, it says that they have red spiders in some of their small shrubs. And they thought that they were suffering from drought, so they've been hand-watering them in addition to the sprinkling system, and they're wondering how to treat them.
Well, I'm assuming red spider mite.
Probably,
and
yes.
So red spider mite, with the cooler weather, they're going to diminish. So hand-watering them, if you were getting water into the foliage, that would have helped. But it's getting too late in the season. If they're still finding some, they could try a horticultural soap. But it might be something that they need to, when the leaves drop off the shrub, they could use when you do fruit trees in the spring with a dormant spray or delayed dormant spray, it's fine to spray your shrubs also, and that would help control them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would need to monitor them through late spring into summer. And when they start seeing a little bit of a population, hit them with probably horticultural soap.
Okay, let's take our first caller of this morning. Good morning, Rich. How can we help you this morning? What's your question?
Good morning. I've got a question. Back at the 1st of August, I moved into a new place out here in Draper. Before, I had a place out in Sandy where I was a caretaker with my folks, and my dad had already had all the sprinkler timing and everything set up, so I never had to worry about it. But this new place, there's like three clematis bushes, and I'm really not sure how to take care of them. The front are green and everything else, but on the back, it's all gray and dead, and I'm just not quite sure. You know, clematis is something that's beyond me at the moment.
Do you know when bloom? When do they blossom?
I am not sure on that. I haven't seen blossoms on them since I moved in. So I'm assuming they bloomed earlier in the season.
So I would leave them alone, and the only thing I would take out at this point is just completely dead vines. Now, are they vines or are they shrubs?
One of them is a vine. It is growing right next to one of the rose bushes, and I've had to cut the stringers or the words escapes me at the
vines.
Moment. Yeah, the vines away from the rose bush, so it doesn't get tangled up in there and, you know, choke that off.
So all you can really do is leave them alone at this point. If in general, you unless the clematis are hard because you have three or four different pruning groups, and not knowing when they flower, it's really hard to say this is how you're going to manage them.
Okay.
But what you're going to need to do is only clean out the dead tissue or dead vines or wood, leave them alone, and then observe when they blossom, because that will determine the care they need. So when you see them blossom, you can look up clematis pruning, groups, or how to prune clematis, and you can get a really easy to follow fact sheet saying, well, prune it in the spring or prune it in the fall, or, cut it to the ground or whatever you need to do.
Okay. And how often should I be watering them?
This time of year, maybe every 2 weeks. We're going to be in the 70s, and so there's no great need, unless they were brand new plants, to be really watering them a lot.
Oh, okay. So, you said every 2 weeks at this point?
Well, and you can't take that as gospel, because if we get rain or, let's say we get back up in the 80s again. But the more critical thing is just if there's soil moisture, you probably don't need to water them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I said, the clematis my dad had before, he and my mom kept getting it. My dad wasn't able to make them work. And I don't know if he overwatered them or underwatered them, and I was never quite sure on that argument.
They're extremely touchy in Utah sometimes, and there's a few that do well and others that don't.
Yeah, so if he pruned too much right now, that would mean that if it was a spring bloomer, it wouldn't bloom, right?
Right, I would assume.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your call this morning, Rich. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
Have a great day. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Tom taking your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We began the morning talking about autumn crocus, and if you would like to see the autumn crocus and learn more about them, we've also posted, or Caitlin, I should say, our producer, has posted on the KSL Greenhouse page on Facebook a nice article for you to read as well. And you can also find out, after we got done with the show on Saturday, where we were out at Olson's Greenhouse, we filmed a video on how to put together fall containers, and you can also find that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, if that's something you're going to be doing today, putting together maybe some fall containers, or you've thought about it in the past and just not really gotten into it, there's some fun things you can do, so check out that video as well. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk to Chris in Harriman. Good morning, Chris. What is your question this morning?
Yeah, so we've got some plants dying in Harriman. The only suspect that I can think of is about 2 months ago, they switched over from culinary water to secondary water, and ever since the plants have been, the leaves have been turning brown. I'm wondering if there's any truth to that. Go ahead.
Well, where's the secondary water coming from?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to do a little more research. I'm not the caretaker of the facility. I just work there as a window washer. And there's a lot of hard water on the windows, too, and that's really bogging me down as well. So what could I do? Could I get that water tested?
You can. What you would need to do is collect the irrigation water and then you clean out some water bottles like Dasani or whatever and just clean them out and then collect the irrigation water. And both Brigham Young University and Utah State University have soil testing labs. What you're going to want to really get tested are the pH and the salinity levels.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. The Unimus atollis, I don't know if you know what that plant is.
The what?
The Unimus atollis.
Euonymus elatus.
Elatus.
Yeah, that's burning bush.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed. That's one of the reasons I called. If you knew that, boy, I don't know what you don't know about plants.
Believe me, he's amazing. He's an encyclopedia.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Larry Sagers was amazing, but you're even more so. Anyway, I'll have it tested. I'll get a bottle and take it to BYU. What's the name of the lab?
I would just Google BYU Analytical Laboratory.
Okay, BYU.
And you can download, BYU Analytical Laboratory. You can download their paperwork and then drop a sample off. The euonymus, some other things you want to look at, even though that the plants looking bad coincided with an irrigation switch, the burning bush are infamous for getting spider mites and summer heat stress. And so besides the burning bush, are there other trees and shrubs struggling in that particular landscape?
Yes, I just don't know how to identify those. But yeah, it's general. It's not just the one.
Okay, so if it's across the board, they all started struggling equally when the irrigation water switched, that would be the first thing I would look at.
Okay. Hey, thank you. You guys are great. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening this morning. Next texter is asking about peony leaves and their peony leaves have yellow tips. They planted them in the spring, and they've noticed others around the neighborhood also have brown tips. She or he want to know what they can do. But isn't this a natural process for peony leaves at this point in the season? There's really nothing wrong with them.
No.
It's just part of their natural process.
It is. I wouldn't do much. It's natural for them in late September and October to start this process, and they will go yellow and brown. And it's just totally normal.
It's just what they do before they go to sleep for winter, right?
It is, yes.
Okay. Let's go to Todd in Spanish Fork. Good morning, Todd. How can we help you this morning?
Todd, I was wondering, I know 2,4-D works on bindweed in the lawn. Is there something more effective?
So your phone's cutting out a little bit, and just to confirm your question is there something more effective than 2,4-D against bindweed?
Bindweed in the lawn, yeah.
In the lawn. Oh, there is. So there's a couple of products out there you could look at. One of them, you would have to get a local garden center or farm store, and it's called Q4 Plus.
2,4 Plus?
Q, letter Q, like Quest. Q4 Plus. Yeah, so Q4 Plus, and then the other one is made by Ortho, and it's called, let me see, Ortho Weed Clear.
Weed Clear, and that'll work on lawn.
It will. Both of them are lawn sprays that knock out dandelions, but they have a product called Quinclorac that will do a better job against the bindweed.
And that Quinclorac is in the Weed Clear?
Excuse me?
That product is in Weed Clear?
Yeah, Ortho Weed Clear and the Q4 Plus.
Got it. I have the Quinclorac. I can't pronounce that word.
That's the active ingredient.
Got it. Okay, thanks much.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener is Michael, and he wants to kennel his lawn. I'm assuming that means he wants to put lawn in a kennel. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Is there something more that could mean, Ton?
I don't know.
Okay. That's the only thing I can think of. But he lives in Syracuse, and he wants to know, should he use sand to level the lawn, or should he use something else?
Well, if you need to level your lawn, if you have access to native soil, that's the best thing to use. A plan B would be sand, and that's only if you need a third of an inch here and, you know, just to kind of level it off. But if he's going to be trying to put lawn inside of a kennel, it won't work.
Because
the dog will just tramp it all down, and there'll be so much traffic on it that will kill the grass inside of it.
So your recommendation would be not to put lawn inside the kennel. What would
correct.
You suggest?
And so, I mean, if you wanted to really try something like that, you would almost need a kennel on wheels that you could move like weekly so that the lawn didn't get killed.
Okay. So it wouldn't be worth it to maybe continue to try to overseed it or something like that?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay, next person says, a mini bulldozer left deep ruts in their lawn, and they can't till for fear of cutting through the shallow. The sprinkler wires are pretty shallow. Is the next option to dump compost into the ruts, or what should they do?
If the same solution. Find the if you have access to native soil, you know, extra soil from a garden area or a neighbor, that's best. But a plan B would either be maybe some sand or some bagged topsoil. Mm-hmm. But you would just fill those in and get them level and let the grass fill back in.
So they don't actually need to reseed now that their water's been turned off.
No. And so
it'll just grow through that.
It will. Or if they wanted to time it. I mean, the other thing they could do is put down a quarter of an inch at a time about every 3 or 4 weeks through the summer, and that would allow the grass to just grow on up through.
Okay, next question is, a person a couple of years ago took out 5 aspen trees. Now this year they're getting so many mushrooms every day where those trees were, and they're wondering how they could take care of those.
They're just going to have to let it run its course. Mushrooms are one of Mother Nature's tools to break down roots that are in the soil, and because there's a food source, the mushrooms will just be there. And so they can, if it's problematic, they can rake the toadstool portion off the top of it, but there's really no fungicide or anything they can do to get rid of it.
Okay. Do they need to add gas stabilizer or preservative to ethanol-free gas?
No. If it's ethanol-free, it should hold. Now, if you're worried about it, you can get some Stabil or a similar product and put in there. But ethanol-free fuel should hold through the winter.
Okay, next person.
Oh, Maria, let me clarify that. They need to look at the manufacturer's recommendations, because some of them will say to overwinter it with stabilized fuel or ethanol-free fuel, and some of them say to empty it completely out of the system and run it until the gas has gone out of the carburetor. So they really need to look at their owner's manual.
Okay, we need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. When we come back, Bonnie is first up with her question. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.